single soul. Reaching a further and stepping in closer. It was in Alice in Wonderland. The rabbit, if you remember, he had a big watch, kind of a pocket watch he had. And he always was scurrying about saying, "I'm late, I'm late, I'm late." There was a profound effect my family had on me. And I don't know if it's from my German background, but the issue of being on time was critical. Don't be early, don't be late, be on time. And so often there were times when I would be frustrated and anxious because I knew I was going to be late. There's that overwhelming sense of my responsibility to be diligent for the people I'm going to meet, that I'm on time, that I care for them enough. If I show up late, in some ways that was like disrespecting people. And so time was a critical thing. It's interesting that when I was in college, if a professor was like 5 or 10 minutes late, you had to wait. But at 15 minutes, you could leave. Because if they don't show up in time, that you're not obligated to stay there. So the issue of time is something critical. In fact, C.S. Lewis talks about time in our lives, when in some way we might feel like, "This is my time somebody's wasting." The time I have is really God's time. And we're going to see where it is He acts in the time He gives to me. What kind of appointments and relationships. I'm John Smizer. It's good to be with you today.
Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were God's enemies we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
This is called Dark Saturday. This is the time between Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday or Easter. This is Dark Saturday. Just what was going on at this time in the life of Christ? Where was He? What was He doing? I know that for the disciples, many of them were so discouraged and beaten down. But God is not in a rush. God does exactly what needs to be done at the right time. You saw our opening verse here. It says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Now, that's out of Romans, my favorite book in the Bible. Well, except I like Habakkuk, I like Amos, I like Leviticus. I guess for right now, Romans is my favorite book. But in Romans, it talks about at the right time, the things that happen. In Galatians, it talks about in the fullness of time, Christ came into the world, that God sent His Son. You know, God doesn't rush things. He's never late. He's always on time. For the little rabbit who's crying out, "I'm late, I'm late, I'm late." God never feels that way. He knows when is the right time. He knew when to send His Son. He knows when we need our salvation, this idea that just at the right time. When is the right time for you to surrender to God? Well, it's right now. We could be sad about what we haven't done, or we could worry about what will happen. But when's the right time? It's now. Now, in this passage, this Romans passage, one of the most powerful verses in verse 8, as it reads out, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It wasn't through anything that we have done or wonderful actions we've been involved in. No, it was because of His love for us that Christ died. He demonstrated it, not just talked about it. He demonstrated His love for us. Now, back to the question of Dark Saturday. Just where was Jesus in this time? Well, I want to add a little bit to your homework of reading the devotion, meditating on it, writing down some things you hear from God. But I would encourage you also turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. See, in that passage it speaks about that Christ went to those in captivity since the time of Noah and made a proclamation to them. You know, it also enfolds the parable in relationship to the rich man and Lazarus at his gate. When they both died, one went to Hades and one went to the bosom of Abraham. There were two places in Gehenna, the abode of the dead, where those who passed away were not yet in the presence of God. They were in a place called the bosom of Abraham. And for Christ, He also was there on Saturday proclaiming what He had done. Well, what did He have to tell people? Well, for so many eons of time, people had scratched their head and wondered, is it the way Lucifer, Satan has designed things? Or is it the way that God designs things? Will there be this thing of called salvation accomplished by way of God? Or will we all be devoured by Satan? Well, when Christ paid the price on the cross, and what was it that He said at the end? It is finished. It is paid for. Teleos. It is accomplished. That was the point in all of history that the determination of where, what, and how salvation was come to us. There was no longer a question as Christ proclaimed to all of those across the great chasm and everywhere. Now, so often in my evangelical fundamental background, always with a proclamation would come an invitation. But this idea of proclamation in Peter doesn't require that. The idea of his proclamation is simply the declaration, I've paid for it. It is now finished. The relationship with God Almighty is open to all who believe and receive the free gift. In your life and in the lives of your friends, encourage them and to know that what Christ did on Friday, Saturday, and then on Sunday is the receipt that the Father accepts this gift. It's the receipt when He is raised from the dead. Praise God. In the right time, Christ came and died. When I was in elementary school, there was a guy named Larry. And Larry and I became friends. We made peace. Prior to that, we were always at odds with one another. In this Romans chapter 5, we recognize that it's in verse 9, since we now have been justified, you know, made right through his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Jesus Christ? That we're no longer enemies with God. We are no longer fighting against God. So often we can watch people who fight against God. They reject things that God wants in their lives. Do you have that area in your life that you fight against God, or do you give over to God all that he asks of you, surrendering your life? In those ways, we have peace with God. We walk in a way that is comfortable, honoring. It's bringing glory to him. I thank God for the gift that is ours in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we thank you so much for the gift of your Son that gave to us an understanding of our relationship. We needed to have provision for the areas of our life when we were separated from you, and you drew us close to yourself. And through you, we have access to our Heavenly Father. In the same way that that curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, and the access into the Holy of Holies, Lord, through you, we have that access to God, our Creator. Lord, in these days, as we look forward to Sunday, may our hearts rejoice and recognize the goodness you have given to us. Father, bless us this day. Prepare our hearts to praise your name. He is alive. He's not dead. In your precious name, amen.
For a single soul, reaching a world and stepping in closer.